You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
He seemed to be a particularly a sweetheart of a man, but your luck with men hasn't been so good, has it?
No, but you know who my man is now?
I'm desperately
in love with the Lord.
You know, he says in the scriptures he is the husband to the widow.
Yes,
and
he
that's
is.
What you are.
Yes, he is definitely my husband now. I don't have any desire to date. I don't want to get involved with any other men ever again. To tell you the truth.
Let's see. I can take Jesus or a man. Jesus.
Right.
And I'll tell you one thing. He will be faithful to that if you'll call him on it. He says, "Bring me to remembrance of my promises." And I, of course, lost my dad very young. And so anyway, I always say to him, I say, you promised you're the father to the orphan. And I can just see him up in heaven going, oy vey, here he is again. Now I got to bless this guy because he won't leave me alone. Well, you said bring it to remembrance of your promises. And if you ask people on the outside, I lived a good life, a life of great intervention. And I think it's because of that.
Of course it is. And look at me. I mean, I had two fathers, you know, that didn't do very right by me. But who is my real father? God is my father. He's the best father I could ever have. And he made sure that I got through all of these scallywags and liars and con men and thieves and whatever. So I'm at the point where, you know, I was with Ray for 4 years. We were married for just 11 months before he passed away. But those were the best times I ever had. And that was the best relationship I've ever had with a man, even though at the end he was no longer my husband. He became my baby. And I had to, you know.
Well, I didn't realize he became an invalid at the end.
Yeah. He became my baby in the end. And I sent him to the Lord. And, you know, I mean, I learned a lot from that relationship, and I learned that love doesn't have anything to do with sex. It's really about that. You can, you know, when I was with Ray, he had prostate cancer, and you know, I don't want to get into too many details. I just want to say our love was so deep and we were so close, and I never, ever worried about, you know, anything really when I was with him. He was mine and I was his, and you know, and I sent him to the Lord, and then now I know what a really good relationship looks like, thank goodness, because I was raised with a lot of craziness and questions, and I thought that my parents had a good marriage, and then I found out that was really all a lie, and then this man shows up, and I find out, okay, so the reason you think I'm maybe not so kind towards him is because the fact is he has been stalking me my entire life. He literally made my mother, my biological mother, go to the adoption agency or whatever legal means had to be taken every year to make sure that my papers didn't get put into the archives. You know, things go into archives within like 5-10 years, you know.
Now, what are the ramifications of going into archives? I don't even know what archives are.
Yeah, archives are adoption papers. You know, you got papers on you. We all have these papers on us. And in fact, in Pennsylvania, there's this place called Iron Mountain. All your papers go there, by the way. And I know mine do as a former Pennsylvania girl. But anyway, when your adoption papers get sent into the archives, it's going to be hard to retrieve them. It's not easy to get stuff out of Iron Mountain. Whatever, it's there, but it's not like readily accessible. So he is an attorney, my father, my biological father, and he made sure that my papers would not go into those archives so that he could get them when he needed them. And he would never tell me how he did it, but he found out who I was. And that was illegal. He never should have been able to find out who I was, but he did. And he had a private detective finding me. Like he found out my name or whatever.
Okay, but let me ask you this though. I mean, maybe I'm a dummy, but I would have been complimented that, you know, because Jesus made it very clear to me when I became a Christian. He said, I chose you. You did not choose me. And later on, the ramifications are that is, I, you know, it's wonderful. So he's seeking you, which is complimentary, I guess. I just don't know why the negative side to this. Were you angry with him because you were adopted, or?
No. Yes, in a way, I was adopted because of him, because he had a plan, and my mother told me this. He didn't like babies, and he didn't want to have anything to do with a young baby or a toddler. He wanted to find a child who was about 10 years old that he could raise to a magnificent adulthood. And he had some kind of, there was this guy living in the mountains of Colorado, and he had something called a brain trust. And if I had not been given up for adoption, I may well have been raised in a brain trust in the mountains of Colorado, like a cult, if you will. Like, think Jeffrey Epstein, think about all these nefarious critters. Yeah. Who take women and babies and children and do stuff to them. And that was going to be my future. This man was kind of diabolical in his plans for children or for me. And he also was disappointed that I wasn't a boy. He wanted a boy that he could raise to a magnificent adulthood, but I was a girl, so it wasn't that important. But anyway, he had this plan for me, and he scared my mother so much that she knew that, first of all, she was not going to marry him because he was a liar, and he was telling her things that weren't true. He was cheating on her. He told me this too. He was cheating on her with another woman while she was pregnant with me. And he was just a kind of a con man, really. And I mean, everything that he did was in a way to, I don't know, to rule people's lives, you know, to kind of control other people. And when I met him, I realized that he's this kind of a person. And you'll see in the book, I changed all the names to protect him, if you will, and to protect other people. But you'll see from the way that he talks, he's very condescending towards his own wife. He's condescending towards me. He has all of these things built up in his mind about the kind of person I must be. And I understand that. And in the beginning, I was grateful that somebody came and looked for me, because I am a very curious person, and I'm a journalist, and that's my life, is finding out.
Well, hold on. Now, I'm wondering if that's why you became an investigative reporter, because all your life has been a mystery. You know, it's just like the title of your book, Do You Think About Me on My Birthday? So and I'm sure she did.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why the book is called that. It's even when I met her, that was one of the first questions I had. Did you think about me on my birthday? That's what I always wondered. And my birthday's always been a really big deal to me, because people would be like, why is your birthday such a big deal? Like, who cares? And I could never explain that that's the day I lost my mother. I mean, I was taken away from her at birth.
Rejected.
That's kind of an awful day. Now, am I making you cry, or you have an eye problem?
A little bit of something in my eye, but I was touched earlier on. But I want so you'll continue talking.
But I'm just saying that this guy, he made my mother afraid for my future, and she knew that if she kept me, that he would take me away from her, and he would. He would ruin my relationship with her, and maybe, you know, I would not be a normal person, because I would be maybe living in this camp. I don't know. Who knows what he had all these plans, and they weren't the plans of a loving father. They were the plans of a power hungry dictator. So I don't know. I don't know about it, but I know that my mother didn't want that kind of future for me, and she didn't want to have a baby that she would then have to give away and lose. And unfortunately, she still had to go through that. She did replace me with a baby when I was, well, 3 years later, she had a daughter, and she told me that was my replacement. And she's wonderful. So I have a sister, and I love her so much. And
oh, wonderful. You two get along.
Yeah, because of this man, I am not kind towards him, just in the thought that he's a manipulative person who did try to puppeteer me and other people. And He even went on to do that with my son. He tried to ruin my relationship with my son. He's not a person I want anything.
Why would he want to ruin your relationship with his son? Jealousy?
It's a good question. I think it might be jealousy, and it could be the fact that I never told him I had a son. Because this is not in the book. In fact, that I'm writing another book that's a sequel to this.
Okay.
In that book, you'll find out that I basically kicked this man out of my life. He would call my parents poor fools, and he would say that, you know, my wanting to have a life of a beautiful home and beautiful children and a husband and all that, he'd say that's for poor fools, that's for slobs and things like that. You know, he talked in ways that I didn't understand and I didn't appreciate. And I'm not that kind of a person. So he travels the world. He considers himself to be like a Rockefeller. He flies airplanes. You know, he has this wife. He never had any children after me. So I don't know. You know, this guy is probably another reason it took me this long to publish a book is I'm not going to say I'm afraid of him, but I know he's out there. And if he stalked me before, I'm pretty sure he's still stalking me. And
well, he's probably going to watch. He'll probably see this broadcast.
He probably will. And that's fine with me. And he can do what he wants with it. I'm not going to live my life anymore being worried about what his reaction might be to the story that he plays a part in. And, you know,
let me ask you this. We all have the chance of forgiveness and repentance. What if this guy had a conversion and believed in Jesus and everything's washed away and there's a new beginning? There's always that possibility. How would you be able to differentiate?
Love it. I would love it. I would love the chance to be reconciled with all of this bad blood, if you will. And that's what it is. It's some bad blood. And I don't know how to fix it. If the Lord wants it fixed, he'll make sure that it is fixed. And maybe my book will help with that. I don't know. But I have first I put off publishing this book because my mother that raised me, she didn't want to think about me having another family. And she was very jealous that I had this other mother. And she really kind of hated it. And she never met her, which I thought was really sad because.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Don't it like you? Desire of every nation, the beauty of the whole earth, the joy of the ransom.